KPIX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News celebrating Jimmy Carter. I'm Michelle Franzen. World leaders, including five living American presidents and first ladies, gathered at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. to honor and bid farewell to the nation's 39th president. Longtime friend President Biden delivered the eulogy.
President Biden said the definition of a good life is making every minute count, and that's the life his dear friend Jimmy Carter lived.
He showed us what it means to be a practitioner of good works and a good and faithful servant of God and of the people.
The president said Carter never let the tides of politics divert him from his mission to serve and shape the world.
Jimmy Carter's friendship taught me, and through his life taught me, the strength of character.
Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Carter's casket now making the final journey to Plains, Georgia. He'll be buried next to his wife, Rosalyn. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The nation is remembering Jimmy Carter today. One of his lasting legacies is undoubtedly Habitat for Humanity. The Carters were huge advocates for the nonprofit. In 1989, Milwaukee Habitat hadn't built its first home yet, but then the Carters came. They mobilized 1,000 volunteers, and by the end of the build, there were 6 new homes and 8 rehabbed ones. Milwaukee Habitat CEO Brian Sonderman says Carter and his wife Rosalyn brought humility and compassion to the worksite. The whole thing was almost derailed because of rainy weather, but Carter went on local news stations and asked for local roofers to come help. Sonderman recalls they showed up in droves and completed the roofing for all 6 homes in one day.
He said on more than one occasion that his faith demanded that he do what he did. And I think that's a great example for those people of faith to not only talk about it with their words, but to put their faith into action.
Sonderman says Carter found that in Habitat by serving his neighbor and loving them as himself. And in the search for a permanent name for Southside Elementary School, it's been narrowed down to 4 finalists. The committee got 175 submissions from the public and even endorsements from leaders as high as the governor. Now, there are very specific rules within the Madison Metropolitan School District of what schools can be named after. Here are the 4 finalists. Ada Deer, the first Native American woman in Wisconsin to run for Congress and champion of indigenous rights. Lori Mann Carey, who was a Southside Madison native, teacher, and advocate for young people who started nonprofit programs that still help Madison kids. 9 Springs, after the environmental corridor where the school sits. And the final option is Southside Community, which would keep some consistency by using the current name. A school board workgroup will discuss these options on February 3rd, and then the school board will vote on February 24th. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers prepare for Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers face the Eagles in Philadelphia Sunday in the wild card playoffs. The Eagles have one of the top-ranked defenses in the league under coordinator Vic Fangio. I asked Matt LaFleur what makes them so tough.
You just don't see a whole lot of open space, a lot of gotcha plays. You're going to have to earn it, because if they get you in third and long, it's a nightmare.
College basketball, 2 of the Badgers men's team dealing with injuries. Max Klesmet in a walking boot after injuring his right ankle. Nolan Winter, able to practice despite suffering a deep cut to his finger the other night. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota Friday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-105 blowout over the Spurs. A.J. Green with 14 points asked, how do you defend 7'3" Victor Wembanyama?
Just be physical and crawl up under him, try to make him uncomfortable, stab at the dribble. That's what coaches wanted us to do, and I think that's how you got to try and guard them.
That's the Bucks' A.J. Green with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Increasing clouds and increasing warmth today, with highs reaching the mid-20s and snow moving in mainly around midnight. It'll be light, laying down around 0.5 inch with a few flurries still flying in the morning. Otherwise, we become partly sunny with highs near 30. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Jimmy Kay will be in for Rocker with a Max Inc. preview.
And we'll have continuing coverage of the fall of our country.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this Thursday, January 9th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here in downtown Madison, where we come to you from the world headquarters and across the state of Wisconsin. But again, our thoughts, our prayers, our good vibes, all of that going out to friends and family in Southern California going through that great tragedy. Again, many thanks to L.A. Tom for taking time out of his day. We're glad that he and his immediate friends and family are safe. But of course, as you heard him say, apparently at least one of his friends had lost their home, certainly thinking about them. And now estimates, according to CNN, going to exceed $50 billion. With a B, $50 billion, and that's just the estimate up to date. Again, the fires have apparently died down from local weather forecasters, probably the winds, but there is a chance that those could reignite later this afternoon and cause even more damage. Mr. Zommers?
If you are in a place financially to be able to donate or otherwise help, Time Magazine has a really good list of places where local, like L.A., and other police chiefs and fire chiefs and stuff have recommended donating, including places like the California Fire Foundation Wildfire and Disaster Relief Fund. That's a mouthful, but if you just look up California Wildfire Relief, you can find it. World Central Kitchen to help people get food when all these grocery stores and houses are burned
Jose
down.
Jose Andreas just got the award from President Biden for all his work around the world and here in the United States. It's a great example.
Yes. And Salvation Army. There's some others. I'll put the link to this collection in the podcast description.
Great job. Really appreciate you doing that. And again, as they say, everything helps. $5, $10, $20 helps. If you can afford to do more, great. But make sure you use these sorts of notable and trustworthy charitable organizations like World Kitchen. As I said to LA Tom, I mean, so many we're hearing from people on the ground where their grocery store is gone. Their, schools and their markets are gone. And, you know, where do you go from there? So we're going to need organizations like World Kitchen to come in and provide basic necessities for folks here in our own country. And of course, these tragedies are also things that are great equalizers as well. As LA Tom kind of noted there, where a lot of this damage was done, there are everyday folks like you and I, but there are also celebrities living in this area. Academy Award-winning actress Jamie Lee Curtis, who has lived in Pacific Palisades neighborhood of Los Angeles for decades, announced she and her family are donating $1 million towards relief
in Los Angeles County. She says, quote, my husband and I and our children have pledged $1 million from our family foundation to start a fund of support for our great city and state and the great people who live here and love there. Curtis wrote in an Instagram post noting neighbors and friends are banding together to save each other. She goes on to say, it's gnarly, you guys. It's just a catastrophe in Southern California. As she appeared last night on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, she said, quote, this is literally where I live. Everything, the market I shop in, the schools my kids go to, friends, many, 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 many friends now have lost their home, unquote. Curtis said she is in communication with state and local leadership to determine where her donations need to be directed, quote, for the most impact, unquote. So again, Zomers will post those list of credible help organizations where if you're able to donate something, do it. And again, we stand with our fellow Americans out there in Southern California at this hour. Coming up in a minute, going to talk a little bit about your chance on what's worse here. Going to talk, yes, college football. Days like today, right? National Day of Remembrance for someone like Jimmy Carter. All the former presidents coming together. A bipartisan moment. I guess we have to celebrate moments, right? And then you have this tragedy in Los Angeles. Everything else just kind of seems secondary. So certainly no disrespect to those things, but as they say, you know, life moves on in other parts of the world, and so we're going to continue that a little bit as well and talk a little bit about this hour, things to watch for in the 119th Congress, including things that are going to affect Wisconsinites. How can we hold our elected officials here in Wisconsin accountable as this Congress moves forward? And again, I want to talk to a moment for a lot of folks who are going through a lot yet from this last election. I get that. Again, my person that I wanted to win the presidential election didn't win. And I get the anger and the angst. But my goal here is to try to help us look at this through a lens of channeling that into productive means. I don't care whether it's in the state legislature or the governor's office or federal Congress and presidency. I want to try as much as we can in this year to focus on how do we help things get done? How do we understand, as our friend Tom in Los Angeles did, calmly talk through things and get facts out to people? And then how do we take those facts and bring about change? So we're going to look at this, what's happening in Congress a little bit through that lens as well. By the way, Wisconsin basketball back in action tomorrow at home in the Kohl Center against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Game time around, I believe, 6:30, pregame show at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, you can hear it on select stations on the Civic Media Radio Network in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, WRCE, the old home station there in southwest Wisconsin. And if you don't live in one of those places, have no fear. You can stream the game. Good old Matt LePay and Brian Butch on the Badger Radio Network Learfield right here on Civic Media. Just download the Civic Media app. It is free. Won't cost you a dime on your Apple or Android device. Open it up. Go to one of those stations that I mentioned, and you can listen to tomorrow night's basketball game between Minnesota and Wisconsin on the Civic Media app for free, gratis. Tonight, college football playoffs gets underway once again. Notre Dame taking on Penn State in the Orange Bowl. Looking forward to that a little bit as well. But right now, at 13 past the hour of 1 o'clock, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but your chance to have your voice heard across the state of Wisconsin on Wisconsin's largest privately owned radio network. You have Wisconsin Public Radio, which does a fine job, but the biggest radio network in Wisconsin, privately owned, right here at Civic Media. We cover all of the major markets and places in between all across the great state of Wisconsin, from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay, to the old Mississippi River and points in between. All right, here we go. This is a social experiment, Zomers, they've given us today.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You have to think about this one. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And I guess, again, these are kind of open-ended. You could say, well, what's worse if you or I do it? Or I think maybe it's more in a like a social setting. I've had this happen, like particularly I go somewhere to an event and I'm with other people. I know some people there, but I don't know any. It might be someone's partner or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever. And there are people that I don't know. And you're sitting at a table, you're in a social setting, and someone is either staring at you, or you feel they are, or when you try to interact with that other person, they just will not make eye contact. So what's worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Gary in Sussex, what is worse, staring or not making eye contact?
Oh, staring is way worse. I had an employee one time, and I'm a heating contractor, so yeah. The guy went into the house and he was working on the stuff, and the lady started talking to him as he was leaving, and all he did was just looked at her and stared at her. Never blinked.
Really?
And she asked him some questions, and he just kind of looked at her, didn't say anything. So she called me up, and she said, "Rich is scaring me. Please get him out of my house." I said, "He's harmless." So, yes,
But you raise a great point, Gary. You raise a great point. I'm not asking you to divulge personal information about your employees or former employees, but there are some people that might have a condition or whatever that, like, you know, that's kind of their personality built in, and other people don't know that. And so it can be kind of like an uncomfortable situation. Well, and then there are other people that don't have a condition. That's just kind of their rather odd personality.
Yeah, well, people who don't, you know, when I talk to my customers, I need to make eye contact with them because I have to tell the truth. If I'm not making eye contact with them and I'm telling them, yeah, your furniture shot, I got a cracked heat exchanger, and I'm kind of looking down to the side, they're not going to believe, you know.
Totally agree. I do not want to do business with someone that can't look me in the eye.
There you go.
All right. Appreciate you, Gary. Day. Yep, thank you. Stay warm out there. Appreciate it. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And again, there are folks out there that might have a condition for these things, but we're talking about people who don't have a medical condition or anything. I think we've all been in those kind of those uncomfortable group settings where you're like, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always very aware of my eye contact, and I will find sometimes that I feel like I'm staring at someone too long, and so I'll look off to the side, but then they'll look where I'm looking, and I'm like, I was just looking so that you don't think I'm staring at you.
Right.
And especially meeting new people, especially women, I don't want or female presenting people. I don't want them to think I'm being creepy. I want them to know, like, you know what? I'm not going to stare at you.
I'm not a creeper.
Yeah.
You get a t-shirt. Just says, I'm not a creeper.
That would have the opposite effect.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Asking the burning question, what's worse, staring or not making eye contact? Karina, listening on WMTX in Milwaukee. We'll have you when we come back. Zomer starts the music just in the nick of time. I wasn't even staring at him. We'll come back. Take Karina's call and more. 855-752-4842. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact?
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlic helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and garlic is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avacincaptad captain Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And good afternoon, everybody. It is 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock, a Civic Media News special report. According to Channel 3000 WISD, the TV CBS affiliate here in Madison, headline, the new Lisbon homicide suspect has been found. Dateline Juneau County. For those that might not be familiar, Juneau County is just to the north and west of Wisconsin Dells. According to WISD TV3, Virgil Few, the suspect from the December 30th New Lisbon homicide that killed a woman and two juveniles, has been found in Juneau County, according to a post on the Juneau County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. Few faces three counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Elizabeth Kolba, 33, was identified as the woman victim. The two juveniles were 12 and 13. One of the minors was reported missing in Monroe County. During the search, the bodies were discovered in a New Lisbon home. It appears, keyword appears at this hour, Virgil Few has been captured alive and will stand charges on this first-degree intentional homicide, three counts in Juneau County. Again, the headline at this hour, Virgil Few, the suspect in the December 30th New Lisbon homicide that killed a woman and two juveniles, has been found in Juneau County, according to a post on Juneau County Sheriff's Facebook page, and he faces those counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Civic Media will have updates throughout the day. For now, I'm Todd Alball, Civic Media News Special Report. Welcome back to the Todd Alball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 23 now past the hour of 1 o'clock, right in the middle of What's Worse. What do you dial up there, Mrs. Summers? Nicely done.
Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
I like that. Very good. Well, he has a great brain for that stuff. All right, so the What's Worse question, staring or not making eye contact? What is worse, staring or not making eye contact? 855-752-4842. We go to Karina, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. Karina, what's worse?
Hi, guys. Well, I think they're not talking about disease, but there is a cultural difference in those things.
That's a good point.
For me, it was very uncomfortable because a lot of Americans don't look at your eyes when they talk to you. They look around, but they actually not looking at you. In the Russian culture, you're lying to me when you do that.
Right.
Or you don't distrust me or there's something wrong going on that you cannot look at my eyes for crying out loud. And it was one of the cultural shocks when we moved from Russia to here. But for me personally, you can stare at me all day long, but please, when you have a conversation, look at me.
Yeah, that's a great point, the cultural differences. Do you also find it, Karina, that younger people are do not look you in the eye more than people, say, over the age of 50 or not?
I think so, too. You are absolutely right. And I think that their thing is they're not doing it. When we moved in 1995, no cell phones, right?
Right.
So it was a truly a cultural thing when the people maybe don't have enough attention span. I don't know why, but there are a lot of people when you're talking to them, they're looking everywhere else but you.
I think you've raised another great point that younger folks have gotten into the screens, and some older people too, quite frankly, but we've gotten attached to looking at the screens or whatever is kind of secondary, and we don't focus on really what we're engaged with, and that carries over when we engage with people in person. That's a great take, Karina. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We go to Ann listening to WCFW. The tap up there in beautiful Chippewa Falls. And what's worse, staring or not making eye contact?
Well, I think not making eye contact, because there are cultures that don't look in people's eyes because of respect. And there's also a lot of kids on the spectrum as adults.
Right.
And they really work on looking at people in the eyes. And it's hard for some people. And I think that we just can't judge either way. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, no, another great point. We kind of mentioned this at the front, that there are people, folks that have, you know, certain conditions or whatever, personality disorders or whatever, that they're very uncomfortable making eye contact. So
exactly.
You know, that's an issue to not judge someone just because they're not making eye contact, that there may be more going on there.
Exactly. You know, and I know people really work on it when they know that that's one of their issues. And so I feel like we can't judge people because they don't look you in the eye all the time. You know, they might have a little eye contact, but I just feel like we have to look at the whole person.
That's great perspective, Ann. Appreciate you bringing it up. Thanks for your listenership up there at beautiful Chippewa Falls, not far from the banks of Lake Wissota, where Pat Kreitlow comes to you every morning from 6 until 8. On Up North News Radio. I'll be on the program tomorrow, Zombers. They've started a new Friday round table, recurring guests, and Kreitlow has asked me to be on the first panel. So I'll be on in the 7 to 8 hour tomorrow on Up North News.
Well, that should be a fun time.
Should be a good time had by all, as our former teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying. 855-752-4842. What's worse, staring or not making eye contact? What do we have here? Len in Madison on WMDX says staring is worse. Not making eye contact is ignoring someone. Staring is associated with intimidating behavior. I'd rather be ignored than intimidated, unquote. See, this is why I love these questions, because it's kind of meant a little bit just to have some fun, but then you get all these interesting takes that are kind of serious as well.
That's the thought that I have. That's why I always make sure to not stare at people, because I don't want to be intimidating people.
Right.
That's just not what I'm about. But I will say, if you think about it in the context of, let's say you're going on a date with somebody,
right?
Not making eye contact is definitely worse.
Yeah. I mean, if you're having a coffee or certainly dinner and you're not looking at the person you're there on a date with, my guess is you ain't going to get a second date.
If you have some eye contact, sure. Yeah. But like basically none. No, right. That's not going to work.
No. That.
Unless, as mentioned, they have autism or some other.
Right.
If there's a
legit condition. Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, it just seems like they're not into you.
Yeah, right. Ever been on one of those kind of date summers?
Yes, I have.
I have actually as well. A lot can be said with the eyes. Linda Gray, great actor from Dallas, once said that the eyes reveal all for an actor. And she is so right. Great actor as well. Come on back. Going to have more on the other side. Talk about the 119th Congress right here on the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. An ice skater had to be rescued after falling through the ice on Lake Monona. It happened yesterday near Law Park. According to the Madison Fire Department, the person was 150 to 200 yards from shore when the ice cracked and they fell in. Luckily, they were able to get themselves out of the water and back on solid ice. The water there is about 40 feet deep, so good thing they were able to get back up. Paramedics got to the skater on foot and brought them back to shore. They were taken to the hospital by ambulance. Firefighters want people to know that area may have ice heaves, spots where the ice can crack because the pressure underneath it is changing. And the spring elections are shaping up. The deadline for candidates to file their paperwork was earlier this week. Statewide, we have a few races that'll be on the ballot for everyone, and probably the biggest one is for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Liberal Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. With a 4-3 liberal majority right now, that means this race will determine the balance of the court. Technically, Wisconsin Supreme Court justices are nonpartisan. The candidates are the liberal-leaning Susan Crawford, a Dane County judge. She has Walsh Bradley's endorsement. And the right-leaning Brad Schimmel, a Waukesha County judge who served as state attorney general under Scott Walker. It's already poised to be the state's most expensive Supreme Court race. On top of that, voters will choose the next superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction. Right now, there are three people running: incumbent Jill Underley, superintendent of Sauk Prairie Schools Jeff Wright, and former teacher and education consultant Brittany Kinzer. There will be a primary in February. That'll narrow it down to the two candidates that will be voted on April 1st. Plus, there will be some appellate court judges on the ballot as well. And if you're hungry and want to donate to a good cause, remember today is the fundraiser at Texas Roadhouse for the Abundant Life Christian School community. Both Madison locations are participating. They'll be donating 100% of their profits today to the fundraiser hosted by the United Way, which currently has more than $240,000. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but two notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague Lisa Kudrow made news the other day when she appeared on the Drew Barrymore show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Increasing clouds and increasing warmth today, with highs reaching the mid-20s and snow moving in mainly around midnight. It'll be light, laying down around a half an inch with a few flurries still flying in the morning. Otherwise, we become partly sunny with highs near 30. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
Clothes that fit your style and your life. At Equability, they adapt your jackets, pants, and more for dexterity or mobility challenges. Feel confident, comfortable, and ready for anything. Visit equability.co to make your clothes easier to wear today.
The John and Gordy Show.
Costco is building apartments above its stores to address the affordable housing crisis starting earlier this year. Walking downstairs and getting a $1.50 hot dog, Sam.
Man, that's just the dream.
Gives new meaning to the affordable walkability.
John, you're very excited about this.
This is my dream come true.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tala Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zomer is on the board. Todd behind the mic here on a Tuesday, January 9th. So we'll see. We'll see if we get to the other side, because I've been trying to do this story for a couple of days, and I feel like we got to have some serious stuff here with the 118th Congress. But I'm very intrigued by this other story. According to the CDC, and it goes along with this story, that very serious story about the population is on track to be like 200,000 people less in northern Wisconsin by 2050. And it's very concerning that people are aging. We're not having new people move in. The birth rate isn't quick enough. And so a lot of communities in Wisconsin are going to face challenges if younger people aren't there. But here's kind of the sidebar story on this. That Wisconsin has one of the lowest fertility rates in America. Did you know this?
I did, only because you told me from this very article yesterday.
I'm just intrigued by this.
I am too. I wonder why.
Why aren't we more fertile here?
I wonder if it goes into why. I wonder if it has anything to do with the mercury level in the fish or something.
Well, that's,
or all the beer.
That's a point. You want to know what the highest? Guess what the highest? The highest fertility rate state in America. Who is the most fertile in America? Wouldn't that be great to have a contest? There he is, most fertility.
I wonder, like, you just do sperm count or whatever for men?
Right? Right? That would be a competition. What's your sperm count to be named Mr. Fertility in America?
I think it's going to have to be on HBO, though. You can't put that on cable.
Right. Double, exactly. It'd be a streaming service. And for some reason, there is literally like a skunk stripe right down the middle of America. And when it comes to fertility, I'm not joking around here.
I mean, does it line up with the Rockies or something?
Just east of the Rockies. Highest fertility state in America, according to the CDC, South Dakota. South Dakota.
I don't know what I would have guessed, but it wouldn't have been that.
Really? South Dakota. Followed by Texas, which my friend Alex would say, you're gal dang right. No surprise there. Texas men very proud of their fertility. North Dakota, right above South Dakota, of course. Nebraska, and then kind of the outlier, Alaska. The most fertile states in America. South Dakota, Texas, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Alaska. I mean, that's very interesting. Andrew in Maine on WAUK says most fertility would have to be where Nick Cannon lives. That is fantastic. That is a great take, Andrew. For those that don't know, Nick Cannon, the former host, and I still say the best host of America's Got Talent. When Mariah Carey, his then wife, was one of the judges on the show, and he always used to introduce her, and he'd say, and now Mariah. And I loved how he said Mariah. But Nick Cannon has what, like 11, 12, 13 kids?
Something like that.
It's crazy. So I agree. Wherever Nick Cannon lives has to be fertile. WAUK Ronnie in Horicon says there has to be a correlation between drinking and infertility. Well, now that's interesting.
Probably.
Maybe. But I think there's a pretty high drinking rate like in North and South Dakota. But I could be wrong.
We are still by far the winners, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Ronnie says since we have the highest drinking rate in the country. Well thought out. Why is it that Wisconsin has one of the lowest fertility rates in America? This is great that it's prompting calls. I didn't know it would be this great. 855-752-4842. Karina calling back in from Milwaukee. Karina, what do you think on this infertility?
Yeah, Hi. You know what? I want to know how they're calculating it, actually.
You what?
Whose facility is that? The man facility or a female?
Well,
calculating the rate?
Right.
I mean, how you do that?
I don't know the science, Karina. All I'm reporting is what the CDC is saying. I think it's a combination between male and fertility, or male and female. I don't think it's, I haven't seen it where it's divided up. Here we go.
Yeah,
I should have read the footnote. General fertility rate per 1,000 women age 15 to 44.
Because I was going to say, it's not fertility when you're referring to men. I don't remember what it is, but it's something
virility?
Else. I think that's what it is.
Virility. So, all right, there you go.
Is it on the basis of the pregnancies, or it's on the basis of the fertility treatment?
I do not know that. It just says this based on a study
it's
of 1,000.
Weird data. It's just, I work for healthcare. It's just very weird data. It's lopsided. I understand Alaska, they have a night all the time. What else is there to do, really?
I know.
You're right. See, that's my point. I was jabbing Pat. Well, that's a bad term to use. I was telling Pat Kreitlow the other day on the show, what's going on up there in northern Wisconsin? It's not cold enough. You understand that the global warming has resulted in people not sleeping together enough. That's why the population is going down.
Or actually, I was thinking maybe they are start talking about that they are putting not the fertilizer, the fertilizers and the pesticides now a year, a season, and there's a lot of farm fields in there.
Yeah,
it may be water actually.
Yeah, maybe water. Maybe literally might be something in the water. Thanks, Karina. Appreciate you. 855-752-4842. Why is it that Wisconsin ranks as one of the least fertile states in America? Go to Peggy listening in beautiful Brooklyn. Peggy, I have not driven through Brooklyn in a minute. I go through it when I go down to Monroe. How are things in Brooklyn these days? I miss driving through.
Good. So your fertility question, I honestly, and I agree with my daughter. She's 29, and she said, Mom, the younger generation, they're either super, super, super far in debt because they don't know the value of a dollar, or they don't want to go there. So that's why they're not buying houses. That's why they're not buying cars. And that's why some of them are still. My daughter travels for her job. She rents a room from us. She pays for her car in cash. She has more money in the bank than I'll ever have. I charge her rent. But she said people don't want to go in debt, so they're not having kids. They're not having cars because that's where all their money goes, cars and insurance.
Yep.
And they don't want to go there. So they Uber Brooklyn. You can Uber from Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Give me a break. You know?
Right.
And so that's what I honestly agree with her. And I do kind of agree with the water issue with the previous caller.
Yeah. Oh, great perspective, Peggy.
Because,
really. Go ahead.
Well, because I've noticed in our area, and I don't want to get a mass panic here.
Right.
MS in women and Parkinson's is huge in our area. And
really?
I honestly would love to do a study. I bet you had something to do with the farm field pesticides.
You never know. I mean, there's all kinds of different issues out there. You may be onto something as well. You know, it's a great point. I appreciate it, Peggy. Stay safe and stay well there in the beautiful village of Brooklyn, Mr. Sommers.
I am looking at a little bit of research on how to test fertility.
Yeah.
And you can, it's somewhat of an inexact science as far as I'm aware, but you can do blood tests to check hormone levels and the ovarian reserve, the number of potential eggs remaining. And you can also do ultrasound. I imagine they're not doing ultrasound on all 1,000 of these women, but they could be, to look for structural problems that would make fertility lower.
Yeah, very, very possible. Tony watching on YouTube says he listened to Earl Ingram on Wednesday. Of course, can be heard every morning from 8 until 10 on Civic Media talking about water in Wisconsin. So there you go. Another thing to talk about here. I mean, it all kind of, you know, a lot of these things relate. But I just think it's interesting because when you look at the most fertile state, South Dakota, well, lots of agriculture and farming and all kinds of things in South Dakota. North Dakota. It's interesting that it's a streak. It's like a skunk stripe, like a white stripe on a skunk's back. And they're right in line. The most fertile, other than Alaska, who is, you know, not part of the lower 48. But other than Alaska, and including Alaska, the most fertile state in America, South Dakota, then North Dakota, Nebraska, Texas. Interesting that the middle part of the state, or middle part of the country.
I think more research needs to be done.
More research needs to be done. We do a whole show on fertility and virility. Now, see, Dr. Lyerly would be perfect for this. I bet she could tell us.
I bet she could tell us at least something, at least more than we know.
More than we know, absolutely. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Well, I kind of screwed the pooch on this story, didn't I? Because I was going to go somewhere, and then it went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm glad people were interested. Because, see, it just shows my instincts were right. I thought, well, this is very unusual and interesting and odd, and I guess other people did too. But here we'll be a little more serious, I guess. Looking at the 119th Congress. And trying to look at it a little bit through the eyes of here in Wisconsin. Because there's going to be a lot of shiny object distractions in Washington, D.C. starting in a week or so. And I think the key is to try to sort through this and just bring you the truth, bring you the facts and what this all means. So number one, the budget mountain. Donald Trump has a big vision. One big bill that combines tax cuts, the debt ceiling, immigration, a farm bill, and everything else Republicans want. It's a kitchen sink. Of bills, the omnibus bill of omnibus bills. The details for all that'll be tricky. But first, to pass something like this with just 53 Republicans in the Senate, Trump must get around the Senate's 60-vote requirement using the budget procedural called reconciliation. But to do that, Republicans in both chambers must agree on a budget for the government. And while Donald Trump boasts about constructing things under, quote, budget and ahead of schedule, unquote, Congress more often than not passes no budget and extends their own deadlines. That's why you have to have the continuing resolution. Add to that, Republicans will have a single vote margin in the House of Representatives the first months in this Congress, and clearly they have disagreements over budgeting and the process. Remember, the Freedom Caucus members sent a warning to Speaker Mike Johnson just last week when they made him go essentially to overtime in order to get that vote and that speakership. So we're also, here's the other big thing to watch. Confirmation fights. Trump has several controversial nominees who have survived their first challenge, press coverage, and general public debate. But they now face their next and perhaps most important test, committee hearings. Hearings start, hang on to your seatbelt, next week with testimony for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth, Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi, Agricultural Secretary nominee Brooke Rollins, among others. In particular for Wisconsin, and I know the sexy one, you know, is going to be Pete Hegseth for defense and Pam Bondi for Attorney General. What may affect Wisconsinites even more is Brooke Rollins. How that's going to go down. And again, having no farm bill. And remember, what farm bill is not just folks in who are making a living off the land in agriculture. It's also rolled into the school lunch program. Our, you know, part of our funding for county extension agents going through the UW system and state budgets. These are things that matter to actual Wisconsinites and affect what's going to happen next. 855-752-4842. We'll go to the phone lines after the break here. I know Wisco Paul is on the phone. Stay tuned, Wisco. We'll come back to you right after the break. But these are things in the 119th Congress that we're going to want to follow. Bring you some facts and truth. Also, Trump Thune and the Senate schedule. Trump has an ardent loyalist, and of course, Johnson, the speaker, frequently travels with and appears in photos with Trump. But Senate leader John Thune has had a rockier history with Trump, including openly calling on him to leave the 2016 race. Of course, they patched things up earlier this year. Thune endorsed Trump. But the South Dakota Republican is known as a far more institutionalist than Trump. Remember, Thune is the one that said, no, we're not just going to approve everything you want. We're going to go through the proper order of things here in the United States Senate. And this includes the Senate itself. Thune has set an extraordinary aggressive calendar. A five-day work week in Washington are unusual for lawmakers, to say the least. We'll come back, take your phone calls, wrap things up. It's a Thursday edition of the Oddball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on Civic Media, where it is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Again, updates from Los Angeles on the absolute tragedy with the fires out there in the greater Los Angeles area. And then followed by a look of weather and sports with Mike Clemens. The Badgers get underway tomorrow night here at home against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And, of course, Mike Clemens continues to follow the Green Bay Packers as they get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles in that wild card game. Kickoff time set for 3 o'clock on Fox. But you can listen to the pregame show starting at 1 p.m. on select stations across Civic Media, including Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Kenosha. Clemens continues to follow that like nobody else in the business. We always appreciate his updates. And then get set, get ready, get go. Get ready, get set, and go. It is Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4, followed by Dom Salvia, and then Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, followed by Rick Smith Across America, and then our friend Robert Pilot and Native Roots Radio. Another great lineup here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul has been holding on. Wisco, returned back to one of the things we talked about earlier in the show. Of course, this tragedy happening in Los Angeles and the California fires.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. First of all, Van Norton and Skiles, I think I said his name right, they're both toast if Trump's Secretary of Agriculture screws things up with agriculture, which could happen, but right. their jobs are done if he does that, because that'll hit home in their congressional districts. But here's the thing that I'm not looking forward to with Trump. He can't say Governor Newsom. He has to say Governor New Scum. I mean, right. Why L.A. is burning. Now, that's so childish. And then on top of that, he has to blame the governor of California for LA burning because of the water situation out there. You know, it's, I don't know. I understand how he got elected because Biden, you know, did not quit after 4 years and there was no primary and 15 million people sat home and all that. But you have 4 years of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if he,
well,
it's just mind-boggling. All right, I'll let you go.
No, no, that's fine. Always appreciate your call, Wisco. Thank you for calling. But I think you bring up a great point in that there are a great many people who feel exactly like you do, Wisco, who are just tired and exhausted already. And to your point, Wisco, they're going 4 more years of this again. And for me, I think, you know, it goes back to the old Mr. Rogers quote. In disaster, look for the helpers. And if you contrast what President-elect Trump is already doing, name-calling, blaming, using inaccurate information at best, lies at worst. Look at the response of Governor Newsom yesterday. I watched him last night on Anderson Cooper on CNN. And Anderson Cooper brought up what Wisco just did, that here's what Trump is saying about you. And Newsom rose above it and refused to take the bait. He said, there's a lot of things I'd like to say right now, Anderson, but I won't. I'm focused on the people of California. And as difficult as it is sometimes to take the high road, I think to a large degree that speaks louder than the name-calling and the childish behavior. Because fighting childish behavior, name-calling, and anger with childish name-calling, anger, behavior, it's... I just don't see how that gets us anywhere. Zomers?
Yeah, we can't always follow the high road. You have right. to know when to pick your battles. I just think when it comes to natural disasters and things like that, that's not the time to pick the battle. That's the time to say, sit down, go back to daycare. Don't say well, that, but take right. the attitude, ignore what he's saying, and take care of business.
Right. And in no way, shape, or form, am I endorsing Trump's behavior at all. Not at all. But again, I'm looking to people who have actually been elected and people who have actually been leaders. And Newsom wasn't taking the bait yesterday. He just wasn't. He was focusing on his constituents, the people of California, and making sure that he's talking about truth and facts and getting that out to people. And I know it's Mr. Rogers. I get it. But sometimes truth can be found in the simplest of forms. And when he told the kids, you know, it was his mother that told him in a situation, and he kept passing it on to kids. When things are darkest, look for the helpers. There are always helpers. And I saw that last night in Los Angeles. I was watching this tragedy unfold. There were every day just wondered. There was one, they looked to be in their early 20s. A guy said, look, I only knew this other guy. I've only known him a short time. I don't know if they're coworkers or what. But he rushed over to help him get as much out of his house. They tried to save his house or his apartment, whatever it was. And at one point, the friend's like, dude, we got to go. We tried. And as they were leaving, they had captured this on their cell phone cameras, of course, like that generation does. And there's trees falling and on fire behind them as they left. But that guy was there to help his friend and invited him, to a guy that he hadn't known that long, to come live with him and be there. Celebrities like Jamie Lee Curtis and others, who are just going out in the street and helping their fans, basically, because they live in the same neighborhood. Not to mention the countless firefighters, EMS workers, all the other public service people who are running towards the fire to put that out and to help and offer assistance. That's what I'm choosing to look at as the positive in this, the hopefulness. And we can see it in each of our communities, whether it's in LA or whether it's here in Wisconsin. There are always helpers. And that's what gives me hope. Not just today, but in the 4 years ahead. Great show today. Appreciate everybody for being here. Thank you to Mr. Zomers. In tomorrow, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be with us in hour number two. Not going to want to miss that. And Brady Ewing, big show tomorrow. Join us then. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area talking about the Wisconsin legislature back in session after a months-long vacation. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and fire crews continue to battle multiple blazes in Southern California, including the largest and most devastating fire on record for the city of Los Angeles. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is on scene.
The Palisades fire, it's still burning out of control. And so it's helpful that we have the winds that have calmed down a bit, but they are going to be picking up back again. So firefighters have this pocket of opportunity to try to get as much under control as they can.
That Santa Ana winds expected to flare up again this afternoon and in the coming days. Donald Trump is due to appear in court tomorrow in his New York hush money trial. The state's highest court declined to halt the sentencing hearing. Trump's attorneys have appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to block the hearing. It is a national day of mourning, honoring former President Jimmy Carter. A state funeral was held earlier at National Cathedral in Washington. His casket now making the final journey to his home state of Georgia. This is ABC News.